Days. Mizmor Chabez on page 200, approximately page 200. Masayim. Page 200. Okay, so we learned yesterday. Okay, we're going to start over here on Pasuk, the 202, page 202. Mm-hmm. This is where we're up to page 202. Asaka Shimcha Le'echoi B'sech Kahol Aha Le'leka. Page 202. We're going to start top of the Pasuk with Pasuk Chav Gimel. Perik Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Asaka Shimcha Le'echoi B'sech Kahol Aha Le'leka. I will relate your name to my brethren. Amongst the assembly, I will praise you. Mitsudois David, Pasuk Chav Gimel on page 203. Page 203, Pasuk Chav Gimel. The Pasuk is on page 202, and the Mitsudois is on page 203. Asapara, Oz Asapara Hanes Barabim. Then, after you do this miracle for me, that's really going back to Pasuk Chav, Chav Aleph, Chav Beis, starting with Pasuk Chav, Israel David returns to the beginning of the Mizmar, Keli, Keli, Lama, Azavtani. And now he goes back and he says, Hashem, you will help me. V'yato Hashem, Al Tichok, El Yolusi, Le'ezra Sikhusha. Okay, the Pasuk we're reading is Pasuk Chav Gimel.
On 203?
And that's on page 202. That's the Pasuk we just read. Pasuk Chav Gimel, on page 202, Pasuk, so we read the Pasuk. So that the Mitsudois appears on the next page, on page 203. And I'm explaining is that this Pasuk Chav Gimel, is coming back to follow through with what he began with on page 200. Where David, on Pasuk, page 200, Pasuk Chav, David returns to the theme of Pasuk Aleph, Keli, Keli, Lama, Azavtani. He returns in Pasuk Chav, Yato Hashem, Al Tirchok, do not distance yourself from me. Eyolusi le'ezrasi chusha. And now, and when you will, I have confidence that you will come to my rescue, then I will sing your praises. Asapara shimcha le'echoi b'soich kohol ahalaleka. So if you want to go wax homiletic, and you want to say that this refers to the story of Purim, and the author of this Mizmar is Esther, or David, whatever, David and Esther all integrated together. Esther is saying, Ribbono shel Olam, no, it's kedai to save me. Forget about me and Klal Yisrael have a holiday, Purim. Could you imagine what it will be like? We'll have Echoy, Matonos Le'evyoinim, Mishloach Monos, Ish L'Re'enu. All of our brethren will give gifts one to another, and we'll have a davening. It will be a spectacular day. It will be a day of besoich kohol ahaleleka. It will be a Purim Mesibin Chaim Berlin. Why not? Let's go and have Hashem come to my rescue, so that we should be the Klal Yisrael shall be able to celebrate, and this will be a celebration for the Jewish people for eternity, as indeed it is.
So she wrote the Megillah.
Esther, right, Esther wrote the Megillah. Esther, that's right. But here, at this point, when she's making these words, according to the Medrash, is Esther enters into the Chotzer HaPnimis, and the Shechina disappears, which is a signal from Hashem that this is not going to work, the miracle is not going to happen, and there's going to be a lot of trouble. And Esther starts pleading with Hashem, why? Why not? I did nothing wrong. She makes a cheshbon hanefesh, v'chula v'chula. Then she tries another tactic. Hashem, you know, it's good to celebrate. People need to celebrate. I told you the story many times with my grandmother. My mother told me the story with my grandmother, and it's mama fits right over here. My grandmother, she was an immigrant. She came to America with my grandfather. They survived the war. They traveled near Yeshiva. They just barely escaped their lives. Unfortunately, both of their families were totally murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shimon v'Zichron, and they just barely survived. A lot of Hashkacha Pratis came to America, and they didn't speak a word of English. not a word of English. So my grandfather, very quickly, he learned English. He learned English. And my grandfather was a Rebbe, Rashiva in RJJ, Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yankov Yosef. And he had a lot of Talmidim, he had a lot of Talmidim in RJJ. And Tamari, welcome back.
Welcome
the return
back.
Of Tamari.
What do you say?
Welcome back.
Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach. So they came to America. My grandmother refused to learn a word of English. She had a mental block. She I don't know, she was a very brilliant woman. She refused to learn. She just could not handle learning English. I don't know what, whatever. Vayehi hayoyim, she had to become an American citizen. Because, you know, you got to be an American citizen, all the benefits. I'm being an American citizen, social security, all these things, you know, everything you need. Ensure everything. So she has, so in the olden days, it wasn't like today, where everything today is a crazy world today, but in those days, if you want to be an American citizen, you have to really show that you machshav America. You appreciate America, and you know the culture. You know the culture of America, and you know who the president is, and you know the first George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson. You gotta know, epis. You gotta show that. So you go for a bechina, and today today this whole thing is watered down totally. You had to know English today. Today the whole process is turned into a joke. But it used to be to become an American citizen, it wasn't so simple. Besides going through all the legal challenges, at the very end, you had to go to a judge and stand before a judge, and he would test you. And it wasn't such an easy test. He would test you to see, you know, how Americanized you are, how much you have adapted, how much you've integrated into American society. You have to speak English, and you have to answer all the questions. So my grandmother was a very big problem for her, obviously, because she didn't understand the word of English, and she wasn't willing to learn, but she had to become an American citizen. So there were people that came, her friends, they sat with her, and they studied with her.
A crash course
in what she needs to know. Who is the first president? George Washington. Who? I don't know, all these questions. And basically, she was given a very difficult question. She basically just memorized. She memorized the answers without understanding a word of what she was talking about. Okay, so they trained her very well. She went to the judge, and the judge asked her, who was the first president of the United States of America? So she got a little confused, so she probably said Benjamin Franklin. Okay, who is on who's on the $20 bill? Who's on the $1 bill? Andrew Jackson. I guess every question she said the answer to another question because she memorized all of the answers, but she got everything wrong. So the judge says, "I'm sorry, you failed the test, and you can't. You're not gonna. We can't make you an American citizen. You're not ready yet." So there was a student, a Talmud of my grandfather, who took her to this exam, you know, took her and you know, was part of the team. So the Talmud said to the judge, Your Honor, you can't do this. You understand that this woman is the wife of a very big rabbi. Very big rabbi on the lowly side. And right now, as we speak, there are hundreds and hundreds of students preparing for the grand celebration of the wife of their rabbi becoming an American citizen. Your Honor, if you're going to fail her, could you know the disappointment of how many people, students who are right now, there's a banquet, there's food, there's a band. There's a celebration being prepared as we speak. We're going to come back and we're going to announce that she's an American citizen. We have a whole celebration. How could you disappoint all of the students of the academy? We're preparing. So the judge, he liked it. So, okay. I pass you. He gave in. So this is okay. And you're telling me ad kedei kach is baloney. This is what maybe it wasn't. I don't know to the degree. So the judge went for it. It's exactly the same thing over here. Esther Hamalek over here is saying, "Yibayna shalayla." Listen, you don't want it. We don't have zuchusin. You're right. We're not worthy. We're not worthy of this miracle. Yibayna shalayla. We want to celebrate. The whole Klal Yisrael is waiting to celebrate. So even if we don't deserve it, do it anyway. Because do you know the Kiddush Hashem that will come in the future when Klal Yisrael will celebrate the miracle of Purim? This is an incredibly unique argument. Where do you have a parallel to this argument in Jewish history? Hashem save us. So it's always either you deserve it or you don't deserve it. And if you don't deserve it, do teshuva, or at least promise you'll be a better Jew in the future. Here you have an argument, we don't deserve it, we're not really going to be any better, that's the truth, let's be realistic, we're not going to be any better in the future, but do it anyway, because you'll give us something to celebrate about. And through the celebration, it will change us, it will make an impact on us. We're not promising you, Hashem, in the future we're going to be any better. Certainly, we're not doing teshuva. Because, you know, we're weaklings. We don't have koyach, more teshuva. It's hard enough to get through Yom Kippur. So you want us to do teshuva, more teshuva, you know, there's only that much we can do. So we promise we're going to be a good boy in the future? Let's be realistic. Nothing's going to change. We're the same bad boy we are today, we're going to be tomorrow. But if you do this for us, it's going to go down on the calendar as one of the greatest miracles that ever happened. And that way, we're going to celebrate for generations the miracle. And Hashem, through the celebration, it's going to change us. It's an incredibly unique argument. And you want to say, that's what Purim is. He asked Hashem, just do it. And through the recognition of what you've done, the praise that we'll give you, that is going to be, that's a celebration. It's really unique. This is a unique type of argument. You don't hear people talking about this argument. Asapra shimcha le'echoy, I will relate your name, the revelation of your name to my brethren. B'seicha hola ahalaleka, I will praise you amongst the assembly. Rashi goes into the next, let's go to the next pasuk. Yirei Hashem halleluhu, those who fear Hashem will praise him. Called Zera Yaakov v'kabeduhu, the seed of Yaakov will give him honor. V'guru mimenu called Zera Yisrael. Guru means the fear. Guru, a guru, that in English means a guru. A guru, okay? A mumche. What's a mumche? A macha. A macha and a mumche put together. A guru, right? So let's look over here, look, but that's not what it means in Hebrew. In Hebrew it means fear. In the Mitzudos it means ufachadu. Look at the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Yuchal Dal, Yirei Hashem, Koyamar Lohem, Atem, Yirei Hashem, Hallelu Oiso, and Rashi, let's see Rashi, Asapra Shimcha Le'echoy, Behisasev Kol Kineziyosi, when the assembly gets together, V'chein Oimer Lohem, Yirei Hashem, Hallelu, Elu Hagerim. Those that fear Hashem Gerim, because that's what it says, Rabim Me'amei Ha'aretz Misyahadim. After the miracle of Purim, what does it say? Many people from the Amerites, they Misyahadim, they converted. So Rashi is alluding over here to the Gerim. What is Rashi putting in Gerim over here? Yireh Hashem Halu, V'chol Zera Yaakov, Kabedu will give him honor, V'guru L'shon Yireh. Now this is very, very interesting because let's just discuss for a moment. What are we laying right before Purim? We laying about Mechiah Samolek and Haman. The story of Purim is an extension of Melchemes Samolek. Haman was Mizera Agogi. Haman Ho Agogi Amolek. What is the essence of Amolek? The essence of Amolek we laying Zohar Es. So a lot of people like to talk about Korcha. Everything is a coincidence. Okay, that's very true. That's part of its essence. Don't take anything seriously. Everything is a coincidence. That's another. That's another very powerful. They object. Bris mila. Bris mila represents discipline to control your titles. Okay, bris mila basically is the equivalent of installing a filter on your technology device. No, that's not what it is. That's really not much what it is. It's a shmira. A person has a yetzer hara. The Rambam says this. And what is the reason for the mitzvah of bris mila? Shmira sabris. What's the reason? To control your tithes. By the orla, it's the Rambam. The Rambam basically says that the orla contains nerve endings which enhance the taiva of arayos. It's an enhancement. It's marbe the taiva. By removing the orla, a person is diminishing his ability to be nene in arayos, in these matters. Okay, so this, so why do you need to take off the orla? I'm in control. I'm totally under control. Obviously, the Torah demands that a person is not in control. A person in a weak moment can do terrible things. A person needs to, you know, a person needs to protect himself. A person needs shmira. That's what really was so what was the specific mitzvah that Amalek was misnagged? Bris mila. As the Jewish people traveled in the Midbar, they took orlois and they threw it at them. They made leitzonis, the Shemayim, made leitzonis of the mitzvah of bris mila, as if to say, you're taking away our ability to have taiva. What kind of mitzvah is this? The purpose of men is kula taiva. An animal, no discipline whatsoever. Okay, that's one other element of Amalek. But then comes the third element, which really stands head and shoulders above them all. Velo Yorei Elokim. The essence of Amalek is there's absolutely no shemetz of Yiras Elokim. And their existence in this world trickles down. Their influence of you go into a room and there's a nasty person, everyone knows this. You go into a room and there are people that have a very powerful personality, whether it's good, it's bad, whatever it is, it just changes the dynamics of your environment. Person that's very passionate about something, for good, for bad, whatever it's about, it changes the environment. Passion. And they had a passion of being anti-Yirei Hashem, to completely eradicate any zecher of the existence of God. To remove from the conscience of man, they talk about you know, the Russian, they talk about all different people, evil people in the history of the world, who wanted to be oiker from the conscious, the subconscious nature of man, this hakara of a ribbono shel olam, because it makes you feel guilty when you do an avera. I want to do an avera without any consciousness, without any. Yeah.
The other reason is that it's because that person wants to become the lord of the state, so to speak, and yet with no higher authority to challenge to that authority, so they want to eradicate the Bible. So to speak.
Move to this is velo yorei Elokim. Thus, for sure, you serve yourself. So, at the end of the day, when Amalek was destroyed, who was it really a celebration for? Who really appreciated the miracle? Who appreciated the miracle of Purim more than anyone else? The Yirei Shemayim, the people in Klal Yisrael who you can call who are Yirei. We all know there are people, you know, you walk down the street, there are certain people, this guy's a Yirei Shemayim. Now, everyone is a Yirei Shemayim. No, let's not kid ourselves. Everyone's a Yirei Shemayim, but there are certain people that more. Okay, obviously they have a very holy neshama. They've worked on themselves. Whatever it is, however they got there. Some people it's more natural than others. Some people they work their whole life to develop, to nurture Yirei Shemayim, whatever it is. But we all appreciate that there are different types of levels of Yirei Shemayim. And if the eradication of Amalek is the removal of an entity of creatures who are pride, take pride in the lo yorei Elokim, who celebrates Purim more than anyone else? People who have a greater sensitivity to Yiras Hashem. More of a yorei Shemaim a person is, the more he enjoys Purim. Purim is a holiday of the eradication of the lo yorei Elokim. Not Pesach, not Shavuos, not Sukkos. They're different. Every holiday has a different flavor, a different quality. Purim, it's about the eradication of Amalek, the eradication of the lo yorei Elokim. Thus, if one is a yorei Elokim, it's time to celebrate. And that's exactly what it says here in Pasuk Chav Dalet. Pasuk Chav Dalet says, when I go and I relate the miracle you're going to do for us, and we're all going to sing, who's going to celebrate? The average person? Not necessarily. Who's Purim, to whom will Purim have real meaning? To whom? Yirei Hashem Halleluhu. The Yirei Hashem, it's their Hallel. Yeah?
The power to say Hashem is a Sadiku, right? The power to say Hashem is a Sadiku.
Just because you say Hashem and said does not mean you're afraid of Hashem.
But, I mean, it's Makir Hashem. But Amalek is not Makir Hashem.
It's more than not being Makir Hashem. It's there are different levels. Just saying Hashem is a tzaddik. You say, just because, this guy's a tzaddik. Does that mean I'm afraid of you? Does that mean I want to be like you? There are many dimensions. In Hashem HaTzadik V'ani V'ami HaRashoyim.
That's lip service.
What?
Right back.
Okay, right. But the essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it wasn't the eradication of the lo yorei Elokim. Obviously, Egypt were in the category of the lo yorei Elokim. Obviously, but the Torah doesn't emphasize that. It says that at the end, the Klal Yisrael came to fear Hashem. Okay, so they became fearful. But it doesn't say that, they got rid of the infidels. They got rid of the Egyptians who are below Yorei. It doesn't say that. Okay, obviously there's certainly an element of that there. There's no question about it. But by Amalek, the pasuk is very explicit. It doesn't say this too often. Doesn't say very much about Amalek. What does it say about Amalek? All it says is Asher Korcha Baderech VaYizanei V'Chol Kol HaNechesh Sholim Acharecha, and then it says V'Lo Yorei Elokim. This is their essence. Now, by the way, I have to be fair. There's really a machlekes in the Rishonim if the word V'Lo Yorei Elokim refers to Amalek or refers to us. That or everyone that the reason why this happens is because our Yiras Elokim was diminished. It's going on Klal Yisrael. That's not the Pashup Shah. The Pashup Shah is Lo Yorei Elokim is going on Amalek. So when Haman HaGogi, who is the representative of Amalek, is now eliminated, who's going to celebrate? Those that have that sensitivity to Yirei Hashem, Hallelujah. Kol Zerayak, Zerayakov, Kabedu, Gim Kavod, V'Guru Mimenu Kol Zerah Yisrael. Now obviously there's so many things going on here in this passage. And the very first thing is the word guru. Guru, you know, we don't have this word anywhere in the Torah. I'm not aware of, maybe I'm saying
it. Also guru
b'nei'ez. But for Hashem, towards Hashem. We have by Hashem the word guru, lo so guru b'nei'ez. Saying very good, by lo so guru b'nei'ez. Is this a parasha? Let's say that this is a parasha? I don't think so. I don't say this is a parasha. Lar din lo alno, sheker, al chachashu, whatever. But we have in the Torah of Yiras Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Yiras Elokim, Ufachad Yitzchak, which means Yitzchak's Pachad of Hashem. So we have in the Torah the word Pachad, we have the word Yira, but I don't believe we have in the Torah a word of Guru in reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's very unique. It's very unique that in this Mizmah Chabez, the Mizmah that is the story of Purim, it's revealing a new dimension of Yira that was achieved at the time of Purim, that Klal Yisrael did not experience. Then you have to first define the different dimension. What is the difference? What is the difference between Yiras Hashem and Yiras Elokim? What is the difference between Yiras Chet? Is Yiras Chet Yiras Haroimimus? Then there is something called Pachad. What is Pachad? Sudden fear. You know, go spend weeks trying to figure out nuances between these different words. But look at this. There's a new word. A new word in Nach. It's not just, you know, there's depth in what this word means. And it's a revelation that in the story of Purim, something new happened to Klal Yisrael. There was a change. There was a new relationship established between Klal Yisrael and Hashem called Guru.
Pachad,
but doesn't say among from the Jews.
But
the Jews, the Pachad there was the Jews against the Goyim against the Jews. Let's talk about between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. It doesn't say the word Pachad in the Megillah in reference to Klal Yisrael and Hashem. It says the Goyim, the Pachad Yehudim, the Pachdam Nofal Aleihem. The Pachad was the Goyim. The Goyim had a Pachad for the Jews, but it doesn't say anywhere that the Jews had Pachad for Hashem.
Because that kind of Pachad is terror. Hashem doesn't terrorize us or want us to be terrorized.
Well, it's
a pachad
yitzchak.
Reverence.
The pachad yitzchak of it.
It's more of a reverence than a terror.
Okay, so you're getting involved in these concepts of yiras haroimimus, yiras chet, yiras haoinesh. But I don't know what it means, obviously, but it's not to be ignored that the story of Purim has created a new relationship in Klal Yisrael called Guru. Klal Yisrael, something very, very profound happened to Klal Yisrael, the miracle of Purim. Because you look at the miracle of Purim. Okay, it's a very nice miracle. I say, on a very superficial level, it's a wonderful miracle. Everything happened to fall into place, and Klal Yisrael was miraculously spared from this horrible gezeira. Wow, unbelievable. But if we don't really. If you weren't there to see it happen, or didn't have this in the Torah, and you read about this in Jewish history, wow, very nice. You know, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. We can celebrate for a couple of years, a generation, and then it would just expire. It would just, okay, Megillas Tainus. What is Megillas Tainus? A long list of miracles that happened to the Jewish people. The miracles happened to the Jewish people are the same, or probably the same caliber of salvation as Purim. So the Jewish people, for generations, they celebrated. There was no Tachmon, there were no Hespedim. It couldn't be they had celebrations. And then what happened? No, we Yotzei. We celebrated, we observed it for a generation or two. Adkan, it's time to move on. You can't celebrate your whole life. You have to get back to work. Every day is not a day at the party. You have to be makir toif, you celebrate. Purim, for some reason, there was something there about Purim that changed Klal Yisrael. If we were there through the miracle, there's no doubt about it. We wouldn't look at the miracle the way we look at the miracle today. You could read the Megillah 1,000 times. Wow, wow, wow. Everything happened to fit into perfect puzzle, fit into place. But these things happen to us every single day. Everyone knows this. Everyone knows you have stories that happen in your private life that, like, you look back.
Not on a national level.
Yeah, on a national level. Like, I was talking to Baruch Yisrael, talking about Medinas Yisrael. He knows the history very, very well. Medinas Yisrael. He says the fact that the United Nations voted to acknowledge the establishment of the State of Israel was a Purim story. Because had they taken the vote next week, or the week before, or a month later, historically, there was no way it would have happened. It was like, exactly, timing is everything. It was an incredible Purim story that, punct, everything came together. A lot of nations had ulterior motives, which every single day changed back and forth. It was a miracle. It was a miracle that on that day, yeah.
I read something recently that was sent to a big miracle about that was that when they proposed it in the UN, the five Arab legion, they accepted that. For the Lord of the Rings, they said that was a big miracle itself, because they were almost
hostile to the Jewish people.
Israel, the article said that Israel had just one plague they got from Czechoslovakia, and that they didn't do that much. But the thing is that Hashem put into them a fear of B'nai Israel, I think. Right. Instead of meaning myself,
it's
because it wasn't larger for them to accept the ceasefire. So wherever they come,
you know what was the miracle in the UN? What was the miracle in the UN? That the Soviet Union say yes and have extension all over the other countries of Europe. Why did they say yes? They hated the Jews. They put all the Zionists in Gulag over there. Yeah. And why did they say yes in the UN?
Because they wanted to get rid of their own Jews in their countries.
That's
not the end of the story. We figured the United States, what was the size of the United States, and what is the shape of the United States, this here and this there and this there. No way
they can survive.
Because 7 we do not allow to attack them. In 1 week, the whole United States will be over. That was the miracle. That was the miracle. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you.
So the question goes back.
That's the miracle.
Why do you celebrate Purim?
They're amazing.
There are miracles that happen all the time.
They didn't allow the Jews to have any weapons. Without warning, the United States couldn't bring it in. They wanted the British, because I heard from someone who was in, the British wanted to prove to the world that they had to go back in, because the way it was set up for complete failure. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, you know. Okay, there's a lot of history, and it's not only in 74 years ago this happened. This happens. Every day this happens to a different degree, and throughout that, yet Purim, we're just another example. Why do we celebrate Purim eternally? Obviously, if we lived through the miracle of Purim, we would understand. There's something very deep that happened during Purim that I personally, you know, we're missing. If we lived through Purim, there was something different. And you have to search very deep to find what is it about Purim that changed. This pasuk gives you a little.
The world, sir. Their fate changed on a dime from one day to the next. There was such a massive.
But that happens all the time.
Piecemeal. It happened suddenly. It was goodbye.
But that happens all the time. I mean, all the time.
But
it happens.
It was so. Even though it was an Nistar, as we like to call it, but they were able to.
It affected the people.
This was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that. In other words, the world turned upside down, like Vinapohu. It's the whole situation turned completely upside down.
Right.
It was like you pulled the coffin out.
But it's,
from under
it's
that.
More than it turned upside down.
It was a massive, turnaround.
It had an effect on people. There was some major impact. The world turns upside down all the time. So most people, they couldn't care less. They'd much rather, don't disturb me. My Netflix subscription is about to expire. Let me hop around a few more movies. Don't get in my way. But then there are events that happen in this world that touch a person's heart. You all know in your own life, there are certain things that on paper are much, much more significant than other. Big deal. You go through. And then sometimes something happens in your life that's very, which would appear to be very insignificant, and it just excites you or it eats you up. Okay, there are things, every person in their life, I there are certain things that I never thought would have an impact on me. And yet, it stays with me. It stays with me every single day. Certain events that happen, which, again, on paper, are not so important. You don't know how. For some reason, the miracle of Purim, there was some ingredient in that miracle, even though on paper, you can probably, an historian, can go through history and can show you many such stories equivalent to what happened on Purim. And yet, no one knows about them. No one cares about them. No one celebrates them. And if they celebrate, maybe a couple of people, they said, Baruch Sha'os Li Neis V'Makom Hazeh, for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, Ad Kan. But that it affects Klal Yisrael for forever? What was that ingredient? What was it? This possible.
You know what it was? The fact that we are looking in the Megillah, where is Hashem? Where is that? So, there is a UK rafka here. There is upside down, UK rafka backwards and so forth. We know that Hashem is there. And we are looking for him. Looking in the Megillah, even though it's not there. The Haggadah Shel Pesach is full with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Megillat Esther is nothing. No Hashem is mentioned. It's hidden. The Hakol Nistar. Wow! Now we know Hashem is, even if he is Nistar, he is with us. That's the essence of Purim. The Nistarut of Hashem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay.
That's what I
think. There's something very unique here. Okay, now.
It's a lot.
But there's an emphasis here in this pasuk that you don't always see with an intensity of Yiras Hashem. There was some element of Mo Hashem Elokecha Doireish Meimach Kiim Shoyel Meimach Kiim Liyira Osa. And the story of Purim, it touches upon Yiras Shemayim. That appears, I don't know, to be something which just shook up Klal Yisrael in a way that's unique relative to others. I don't know. If we lived through it, we would have an entirely different appreciation. Because the fact that it's eternal is very significant. I mean, I remember hearing years ago this sugya, do you say Hallel on Yom Atzmaut? Okay, I remember once reading a very fascinating article going through all the halachic issues. Okay, I'm not here to make any political statement or any halachic statement. It's a very, very big controversy, different group. And one thing came out very clearly, that to say Hallel with a bracha, in 1949, has major, major weight. 1950 and 2022, that's a different shaila. I'm not here to go talk about that. But the year following a miracle in halacha, it would appear that even the biggest kanoim that are misnagged, they're in a very weak position in the year that followed the miracle. There's such a principle, is that the following year in halacha, you have an obligation to be Meshabeach Hashem with a bracha on a very high level. Then there's something, it dissipates. When you go back you go further in the future, okay. No, that's a topic of halachic discussion. And when Chazal, they made holidays for all generations. Do we today have power to make a holiday for all generations? I'm not getting into that discussion. But you don't need to be Chazal to make a holiday and to give Shevach V'Hoidah on the anniversary of a personal miracle and certainly a national miracle. That you don't need the koyach of Chazal to do. You need a koyach of Chazal, Pashtus, to make a holiday L'doris. We're not going there. But you don't need Chazal to make a holiday on the anniversary of a personal miracle, to make a bracha, Baruch Sha'asa Li Neis B'Makoyim Hazeh, Shemu Malchus, saying Hallel, how will this, you need to go through the sugya, how all this works out, the following year. But what do you take from that? You take, I'm not giving all the sources to prove this point, is that a miracle must be acknowledged. But there's also a reality in this world that over time, our duty, and even our ability to acknowledge a miracle, dissipates. Proof in point is Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis has a large collection of miracles, and Megillas Tainis is over. It's bottom. Jewish people celebrated miracles, and then Ad Kana came to a stop. Purim was established L'doyros. L'doyros, because there's something different. All right, let's go further. Let's go to the post. No, because another very important point over here is that, in this, besides that concept of guru, this incredible new word that is introduced, maybe that's, you know, that's what I was trying to say in the very beginning, is that it appears a new appreciation, a new dimension of Yiras Hashem was introduced into Klal Yisrael in the miracle of Purim, which is the cause, the trigger of it being established for all generations. Because this word, I'm trying to suggest the secret to Purim is the word guru. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Mei Mokim Liyira Oso. Matan Torah, what does it say? Bavur Tihyeh Yirosoy Al Penechem Levilti Sechetol. The purpose of Matan Torah was what? We laid this in the Aser, after the Aseres Hadibros. It's part of the Kriyas HaTorah. They came to Moshe and said, Moshe, we don't want this. This cannot go on. Hashem cannot speak to a human being and live. Tell Hashem, Adkan. So Moshe goes, and Moshe was very disappointed. So Hashem says to Moshe, don't be disappointed. That's the plan. I want them to be terrorized from me. Bavur! The whole purpose of Matan Torah is Bavur Tiyeh Yirosoy Al Panechim Levuni Sechetohu. And what is Purim? Kimu V'Kiblu. Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar. The whole lesson of Purim is another, like they say in the yeshivas, Anaya Kabbalah Satorah. Another Kabbalah Satorah. And what is Kabbalah Satorah? Bavur Purim was Kabbalah Satorah version 2.0. That was Kabbalah Satorah 2.0. If the whole essence of Kabbalah Satorah 1.0 was Bavur Tiyeh Yiras Al Panechem Levilti Sechetahu, doesn't that have to mean that Kabbalah Satorah number 2 is a new dargah of Yiras Shamayim that we didn't have until now? Absolutely. Now, to explain a little, I want to just follow through with this. I once told you a very, a while ago, this one made on me a major impact, major impression on me. I heard this one from a very big Talmud Chacham. His name is Zalman Korlin. Rabbi Zalman Korlin. He works for Ar Sameach. He lives here in the neighborhood. He goes here to a lot. He sees this, where I daven on Shabbos, he very often he speaks. And he said the following yisrael. In essence is what he said. He's not saying it exactly. Matan Torah, what happened by Matan Torah? It was a problem. The problem was, Kofa Aleim Har Kigigis. Hashem, pick up the mouth and put upon them, if you don't become the Torah, you're going to die right here now. You're going to die right here and now if you don't become the Torah. So, Mikan Moido Rabba Leoyaisa. Our Nasa Vinishma was very weak because we were forced. And if we would go to the Bezer Shalmaila, we can say, don't blame us for being in violation. We were under duress. It's a very valid argument which bothered the conscience of Klal Yisrael for generations. What happened during Purim? Purim, Kimu V'Kiblu. We're not being forced. They will re-mekabel the Torah may ahavas hanes, due to the love they witnessed in seeing how Hashem did the miracle for the Jewish people. They will mekabel the Torah all over again. So no longer can the Jewish people say that our acceptance of the Torah was under duress, because they re-accepted the Torah and they were not under duress. Kimu v'kiblu, kimash v'kiblu kvar me ahav asanes v'lo makadul b'rotzoin. But there's a problem. You know what the problem is? It was for ulterior motives. We were not under duress. We were makabel it willingly, but only because Hashem gave us a bonus. Me ahav asanes. We saw the miracle. We saw Hashem. We had such love. Wonderful. No one's forcing us. We did it willingly, but you did it for an ulterior motive. So we have a problem. The same way we had a problem until now, until Purim, because it was under duress, there's a problem now. Someone can argue our acceptance of the Torah was based on an ulterior motive. Was accepted because there was an incentive. If the incentive goes away, if no longer will there be the Ahavas HaNeis, if we no longer enjoy a relationship with Hashem, where Hashem is going to do for us miracles and we're going to experience, we're not really interested. But it's better than before, because before we were mamish coerced. Here we did it willingly. We accept it. We commit ourselves. You know, you commit yourself. You don't have a choice, right? Once you commit yourself, chosn kala, there's ahava, chosn kala. Why are they getting married? Why is the chosn kala getting married? Ahava. Let's say one day the ahava goes away. They fight. There's a big fight. Oh, there's no marriage. It's a kedushay tos. Ridiculous. You commit yourself. You commit yourself. And why are you committing yourself? Ahava. But there's no more ahava anymore. Too bad. You commit yourself. You commit. So that's much better than being under duress, right? If a guy, but it's still is a problem. There's still a little. In our generation, leading up to coming of Mashiach, Klal Yisrael, like never before in the history of the world, is the Kabbal Torah, with Mesiras Nefesh. All over the world, there is a renaissance in Ahavas Torah, in Kabbalah Satorah, in learning Torah, Shmiras HaMitzvos, in the most difficult. So the whole Golos is Klal Yisrael being mekayim the Torah where there's no Ahavas HaNeis. Do you see Ahavas, do you see the Holocaust, this and that, all these terrible tragedies, and yet Klal Yisrael today is in a state of Kabbalah Satorah with no ulterior motive whatsoever. This is Kabbalah Satora 3.0. It was Kabbalah Satora 1.0, Kofa Aleim Harfagigis. It was Kabbalah Satora 2.0, Me'ahava Sanis. Today there are no miracles. You see miracles happening today, people will suffer very much. Doesn't matter. The Moisa Nefesh, to be Mekayim the Torah, to learn Torah under any condition. This is a Kabbalah Satorah 3.0, which is the ultimate, which is the ultimate Kabbalah Satorah. Now, I forgot how we follow through with that. We follow through that in another way, but for our purpose today, what does that mean? If Kabbalah Satorah 1.0 was built upon the principle, the purpose of this is all ba'avur. You can't get better than that. You can't get better possible than that. Ba'avur tiyeh yirosei al penechem levil pisechem tov. The purpose of Kabbalah Zatar is yirah shemayim. And Purim was a new darg of yirah shemayim. It was 2.0. Your guru, the guru mimenu called Zera Yisrael. That means today, Klal Yisrael, by being Kabbal the Torah in version 3.0, where there's no one's forcing you, there's no Ahavas HaNeis, and yet we see Klal Yisrael being Kabbal the Torah no matter what, that means it's coming from, it's intertwined with even a new dimension of Yirah Shemayim that we never experienced until now. L'kayim Hashem Emar, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach Ki Im Liyira Oso. And there are many madrigals. There are many different madrigals, and in our generation, the chidush of our generation is its new dimension of Yiras Hashem that our predecessors did not have. They didn't have that. Because intertwined with Kabbalah Satorah is Ba'avur Tiyeh Yirasi Avreha. Now how are you going to define that? Everyone, don't ask Yerushalayim today. Baloney. People have plenty of Yerushalayim. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit more nuanced. But every generation coming close to Mashiach with the Kabbalah Satorah adds a new dimension, a new darg of Yirah Shemayim. And look, proof in point over here, the Guru Menachem called Zera Yisrael. Okay, now, before we conclude, so we'll finish our break, we're going to just do the Malmo, the rule of Malmo, the Shur Malmo over here, the point as we conclude. And that is, there are three different levels of it. It says the Zera Yaakov, and it says the Zera Yisrael. What is the chiluk between the Yirei Hashem, period, then there's the Zera Yaakov, and the Zera Yisrael. So this is a classic type of Malmo. It's like exactly what's up the alley of the Malmo. Look at Malmo over here on page Chav Dalit, Pasuk Chav Dalit on page 202. Yirei Hashem Halalu, Seid Sider Shloisha Kitos. Three different groups. There's the Yirei Hashem, Zera Yaakov, and the Zera Yisrael. V'chein Sider B'chol Mokon, Beis Yisrael, Beis Aaron, and Yirei Hashem. So look, this is very fascinating, and we say this in Halal. We say Hoidu La Hashem, Hallelu, Beis Aaron.
No, he's going before.
Beis Yisrael, Beis first, Beis Yisrael, Beis Aaron, Baruch Hashem. Yirei Hashem, Baruch Hashem. We have three, V'chein Tzidim Chomokam, Beis Yisrael, Beis Aaron, Yirei Hashem. Ki Yisrael, Gadol, Miyak. So he explains a bit. The word, obviously the word Yisrael, Sar, represents a prince, represents Kisorisa im Elokim vi imana shiva tuchol. Gadol mi Yaakov. She Yaakov moirem al hehaman. Yaakov refers to the masses, refers to the common man. Yisrael refers to the people who have elevated themselves to a higher level of Yerushim, a higher level. Yirei Hashem hein yiyu hamahalim ubeis Yaakov Yisrael yu hashoimim. Ubeineyem, so the one that will lead will be the Yirei Hashem. And the listeners are going to be the collective group of Yaakov and Yisrael, but between Yaakov and Yisrael is different madrego. B'neim yimotsu shnei madregos. He is called Zera Yaakov, Kabiduhu, v'guru mimenu kol Zera Yisrael. Shehayore meyes Hashem hi madrego yoseh. So that's Yore Hashem is the highest. G'doylo min amachabdoi. Shehakovoid Yidu loy gam mitzad shu asibo harishoinu umanik hateva. Kavod, you give to a person no matter what. You give kavod, even if you're not afraid. But v'hayira hu rak hakoras hashkocho hapratis uligmoil ulahanish. Take something very, very deep over here. It's very interesting, very relevant to the week's parasha. Because this week's parasha begins with ish imo v'aviv ti'ro'u. And then Rashi right away says, what's the difference between Kabei and Ovicha v'yasimecha? So these two, this concept of the difference between Kavod and Yira, Yira is a higher madrega. Here the Malbim is telling his own idea, very profound idea, that Yira comes from Hashkocha Pratis. V'ayiru hu rak hakoras hashkocha hapratis. Ulgmul, punishment. Reward ulahanish. V'zen biyuchas l'zera Yisrael, shehem gidolim l'zera Yaakov, sheshem Yisrael hu shem ha-chashivus, umore al gidolehem v'ovi Hashem asher b'neihem. So he's breaking it up. It's a little bit confusing, but he's breaking it up basically into three madregas. The highest madrega are the Yirei Hashem. The next madrega is Yaakov represents a lower level, but even in the lower level, there's also an element of the Zera Yisrael. So you put it in two madrigals, is the Yirei Hashem, the Zera Yisrael, and then is the Zera Yaakov. The Zera Yisrael also has fear, but their fear is not equal to the Yirei Hashem. Their fear is a lower level, the Guru we met. So it would appear that the Malbim, the Derech Agav, is telling you that Guru is not on the level of Yira. There is Yira, that is a more intense darga of fear, and Guru is a lower level of fear. And after that comes Kavod. And how does a person go from Kavod to Yira? Protis. Person just acknowledges, no, he's the board, he's the boss. He pays the bills. The person here that pays the bills is a person that sends in a big check, and everything is taken care of. But when you realize the person who pays the bills comes here every single day and looks around and, oh, this needs to be fixed. This needs to be replaced. We have to do this to make it better. He doesn't just send in a check. He comes in every single day and gets involved in detail. And the person that misbehaves gets punished. Person that creates the yield. When it's just, you know, a person who sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makir, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but doesn't have that sense of acknowledging the Hashgacha Pratis. I'm a Chabad Hashem. I acknowledge it's your world. You created the world. Very good. I give you cover. But when you realize every single second he's watching you, and every single second he's fine-tuning his creation, you sense the Hashgacha Pratis, that evokes Yira. Kavod is Hashgacha Kilolis. Yira is Hashgacha Pratis. It's a very profound concept. Okay, and it comes. Now take that concept, put it to Kabbalah Siddur Lesimecha. Rashi says that a child has a tendency to give cover to his mother and to give yira to his father. What does that mean according to the Malbim? A child who looks at his mother is the Hashgacha Klolos, but he sees in his father Hashgacha Pratis. Is that really true? I don't know what that means. I don't seem so. But that's what he's saying. He's saying that the need of yira comes from the Pratis. It's hard to finish. All right, we're going to stop over here, so we're up to next
week. By the way, there are four words there. Ema, Pachad, Yir'ah, and Mago. And all of them probably have different kind of the level of
bring it down, bring it down.
Tipol alehem Ema teva Pachad, they will say. And then say Yir'ah, we say Yir'ah Hashem, Tok Kabod, maybe. Yeah,
Kabbalah.
Magur is the highest one. This is
Dim Halak. Dim Shat. You say Dim Shat. You say that you use the highest Madrega. It's a Dim Shat.
I don't know.
The Hebrew
language is unbelievable. You have so many words and they mean something.
Sure.
It depends on the context.
Sure. Can you break for one minute, then we'll